Hey guys, we're in a series called Let's Talk because we believe in conversation. We believe in taking things deeper. We believe in circles, as Pastor Sean Hayden just talked about. So again, we're just furthering the conversation. Instead of just believing what's said on a Sunday, like, let's take this. Let's get our Bibles open. Let's hear conversations and let's talk through the things that we're talking about. And last week we talked about a couple different things, but one of the main things that I want you to hear, and this is so important, in everything that we say every single weekend, this is the most important thing that you will hear: you are not alone. We're saying that because this side of heaven, you're going to have battles. We're saying that because this side of heaven, you're going to go through some crazy things. But Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And he said, you're not just an overcomer, you're not just victorious, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And because of that, you're going to go through some really crazy things. And the enemy has a plan to destroy your life. The enemy has a plan to destroy your purpose. And if you don't understand that, you don't grasp that, you're going to walk through life wondering what could have been, wondering what I should have done, living a life full of regrets. And God said, that's not the plan. The plan is not for you to have regrets. The plan is not for you to live in defeat. The plan is for you to be victorious. And some of you are like, oh my gosh, why am I sitting in the front row where saliva is? Yeah. Put a mask on. Anyway, so we talked about the enemy blinds, the enemy steals, the enemy traps, the enemy he fights to stop you. And as we talked about from 1 Peter 5:8, he is like a lion seeking whom he may devour and destroy. He doesn't come in the most obvious of places. He comes in disguises. This is his plan. He wants to steal from you. He wants to trap you. He fights against you. He wants to destroy you. This is the plan of the enemy. This is the scheme of the enemy. If you're like, why is there so much contention in my family? Why is my wife crazy? Why are my kids going nuts besides remote learning? Why is all this stuff happening? It is happening because the enemy has a plan to destroy you. The enemy wants to divide you. And if he can divide you, if he can isolate you, if he can get you alone, then he can defeat you. Yeah, this is the plan of the enemy. So we talk through Ephesians chapter 6, what it looks like. I would also add James 4:7 this week that says, so humble yourself before God. Do you guys understand how hard this is? To humble yourself before God, to say I'm wrong, I'm sorry, I'm in need of, is a very difficult thing, especially in a culture, in a time, in a world, in a place where you and I are always right. Anybody in this room, you're like, I feel like I'm right most of the time. Yep. I don't need honesty in that moment. So he says, humble yourself. Why? So humble yourself before God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is our job, resisting, fleeing. In fact, it's the only time when it comes to temptation that the Bible says, run. What do I do when temptation comes? Run. Run. As fast as you can, the opposite direction, right? So we're looking at this passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you're like, what do I read this week? What is it I'm supposed to be studying? What is it I'm going to be in? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to go through these verses. I'm going to share it like a story, okay? I'm going to share it just, there's not going to be, I said in first service, there's not going to be a lot of points to which someone write. There's never a point, you know? It's like, oh, that kind of backfired. Like I was at home or something, right? And so, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's points, I promise. Verse 1 says, after this, those are two important words. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites, can we just call them the Ites, declared war on Jehoshaphat. You might say Jehoshaphat, I say Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, an army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. And they're pretty close. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. The NIV says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. If you were born today, and I'm going to just tell you right now, you were, When you were born, you had three enemies: the devil, the world, and your flesh. The enemy is coming against you. Our culture is coming against you. And there's moments in time where your flesh is coming against you. Okay? The devil, which is the principality that opposes your purpose. The world, okay? The world that is the values that oppose your purpose. If you're like, I feel like there's things that are happening in culture that I don't agree with, it's because there's value system, a world value system that is opposing your purpose. There are things that are being taught. There are things that are being talked about. There are platforms that have been last week and this week that people are talking about. They're called the DNC and the RNC. Things that are being said from a cultural standpoint that you go, I don't know that I believe that, because the world has a value system that opposes your personality, your purpose, who you are, why you were created. And then there's the flesh, which is the patterns, the habits that I have that oppose my purpose. There are things that I'm doing right now that I need to stop doing. There are things that are happening, decisions that are being made, that I am making, that are oppose the purposes that God has for my life. Okay? And a lot of times, we know them, and we disobey anyway. Can I talk? And I can fight one. I can fight one of them. But what happens when I'm fighting two of them? What happens when I'm fighting the world and there's actually a part of me that believes or wants to be like the world? What happens when all of these things are happening to me and it's bigger than I am, it's bigger than who I am, and all these things are coming against me? It doesn't say that Jehoshaphat had one army coming against him. It said there was three. What happens when it feels like the world is coming against me and it's not something I saw coming? Because you and I understand the battles that we go through that we caused. We saw coming. I made some decisions, and now I'm dealing with these battles that are called consequences, right? I bought things I knew I couldn't afford, and I did it anyway because my flesh said, I want to be like my neighbor. I want to be like the kid in school, and so I did it anyway, and now I'm going, why can I not afford the things that I'm affording? It's because your flesh said you can be like everybody else. Yeah? So these are battles that I see coming. Oh, I can trace back to 3 years ago when I got that interest loan and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. And now 3 years later, I'm battling, I'm struggling, I want to know why I can't afford the things I can afford. We can trace back and see it. There's the battle, there it is. But what happens when there's a vast army coming against and you didn't see it coming? You're like, oh. Now we got to go back two chapters to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 to see that Jehoshaphat teamed up with the king of Israel. And when he teamed up with the king of Israel, he made a decision against the godly wisdom of a certain prophet that he should have listened to. 400 prophets told these guys, you should go to war, you're going to win. And when you go to war, it's going to be great and you're going to be winning. And they told them what they wanted to hear. But there was one prophet that says, no, the Lord is warning against it. You shouldn't go. And he went anyway. And the Bible says that the king of Israel died during that battle, and there's great bloodshed. And so when you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it starts with after this, after what? After the disobedience. After he did something he knew he shouldn't have done, when he's now paying the consequences, after this, the armies are coming against him. There's going to be moments where you've battled, you've been disobedient, you've been brought to humility, you've been brought to your knees, and then it seems like there's a sneak attack that has happened. You feel like you're battling all of these things. I can handle the things in my life I can explain. But what happens when the battle's happening and I can't explain it? A year ago, I feel like as a community, as an individual, as a man, I feel like there was an attack that happened when I got the worst phone call that I've ever received in my life from Whitney, saying that Nick had been shot in the line of duty. 1 year ago today, August 23rd, 2019, first service, Whitney was here and she came up and we had the opportunity to just pray with her. And the thing that I said to her that I wanted to celebrate today is that Whitney stood right here. Like, I'm celebrating the fact that she's still here. I'm celebrating the fact that she's still alive in the sense that She's moving. She's being a mom. She's doing what God has asked her to do, and she's still thriving. I'm celebrating that because the enemy threw a sneak attack. And let's be real. It was pure evil. It was pure wrong. It was the work of the enemy. I cannot stand it. It still leaves a punch to my gut. It still bothers me. It still freaks me out that nobody was stinking protesting that. It still bothers me. It still bothers me that evil seemed like it won that day. Yet, in the first service, Whitney was standing right here. And so, first and foremost, we gave God thanks. We gave God praise because this is where she was. Could have defeated her. She could have gone 1,000 different directions. We've seen people go a lot of different directions when something like that, something less worse than that happened. Go the other way, yet she didn't. So I want to pause right now. I want to pray for her. Okay, the next, obviously, week. Lots of memories. Lots of reminders. I want to pray for his family. His brothers, his SWAT guys, I'm going to pray for them right now. So can we pause for a moment? God, we know what the enemy meant to destroy us. You turn it. You turn it. And I'm so grateful that Whitney stood here this day, first and foremost, still praising your name. She didn't walk away. She didn't abandon ship. She's remained faithful. That doesn't mean it wasn't hard. Doesn't mean there's not been times of struggle. It just meant she's still standing. And God, I thank you that every time we talk, every time we're together, there's a moment of strength. There's a moment where she says, I need to stand up. Even from the very first, on September 1st, when at Nick's funeral, she stood up and she spoke about her husband. So God, I thank you for the countless number of people that know Jesus because of Nick Hopkins. The men and women who are now following Jesus because of this man. And God, we pray for every single one of those. We pray for his family, for his mom, for his dad, for his siblings. God, I pray for his brothers. I pray for every person that has seen the smile, that has encountered him. I pray for our security team here who are who we are is because of Nick and because of what the foundation that he laid. God, I thank you for the years that we had with this brother. And I just pray over the Hopkins family in the name of Jesus that you'd be with them. Amen? Amen. So what do we do when life seems to throw something at us that we weren't ready for? Because we talked about Nick and Whitney have talked about the risk. They talked about the possibility that this could happen, right? We talk about these things that could happen, but it never prepares you. What does the king do? It says this, right? It says he resolved to seek the Lord. In this moment, he resolved to gather the priests, gather the Levites, gather the nation, and say, hey guys, listen, I know what we did 2 chapters ago. I know what we did the last time we went to war. This time I'm going to do it different, and this is why I'm going to do it different. The last time, it didn't turn out the way I thought it should have turned out. The last time, it didn't go so well. There are things that have happened in your life that didn't turn out the way that they should have turned out because you didn't seek to resolve it with the Lord. You need to teach that to the next generation so that they know that they don't want to make the same mistake that you made. And a lot of times our pride says, no, I'm gonna conceal that. I'm going to hide that. I'm going to keep that for myself. And I'm gonna just not share that because I'm too embarrassed to share that. Share the advice of your failures. Jehoshaphat says, listen, I'm going to do things a little differently because I know how it turned out last time. Listen, you want different results? Start doing different things. You want your ending to change? You want your marriage to change? You want your kids to change? Start doing different things than you've done in the past because you keep doing the same thing expecting different results is... It is. It's the definition of insanity. Look at verse 5. It says this. It says they went out into the court. He went out into the public places, and this is what he prayed. Oh, Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God who is in heaven? Question. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel? He's reminding God of what he's done in the past. Remind God of what he's already done when you're not sure what he's doing right now. See, in your confusion, in your not understanding, in your I don't know how to move forward, remind God what he's done in the past, not for his sake, but for yours. God, did you not do this in the past? God, are you not the God in heaven? He's declaring this to a nation. He's going, God, are you? He's allowing people to come in and to hear what he's praying. He's bringing them in. And he's saying, are you not? But you allowed Israel to live and their descendants. You've done it then. I'm asking you to do it right now. Verse 8 says, and they lived in it and have built it in the sanctuary of your name. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence. He's declaring this. I will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and I will cry out to you in our distress. In my joy, in my victory, nope, in our distress, I'm going to stand here, and you will hear us, and you will save us. And here are the men. Here are the enemies. Here are the Ammon. Here are the Moanites, the Ammonites, all the Ites. He's like, these territories, listen, they will not be allowed to come into this place to invade this place. He's declaring things in this moment. He says, last time, it was my fault. Last time, I was disobedient. Now, it's yours. It's yours. I'm resolving to seek you in this moment. Verse 13, this is my favorite verse right here, and I can't pronounce half the names. It says, all the men of Judah with their wives and their children and little ones stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. You're not naming your kid that, but he's the son of Zechariah. He's the son of Benaiah. He's the son of Jeleel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. This is why this is so important. He's saying, listen, there's generations right there. He's letting us know who he is. This man stood up. Jehaziel, he stood up in front of all these people. He interrupted the moment that Jehoshaphat, the king, he interrupted this moment. And the Bible is letting us know that this is the generation and the generation and the generation. It didn't drop then. It's not dropping now. He said, listen, I was faithful to that generation, that generation, that generation. I'm going to be faithful right now. He's giving us his credentials, right? Through the generations of the one that kept going. When it got hard, he kept going. This is who this guy is. He's giving us credentials. And this is what he says, verse 15. Listen. Again, he's interrupted this. Listen, all you people of Judah and Israel, listen, King Jehoshaphat, you, big guy, listen. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. The battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. He's like, listen, I have this moment right here. We gather the family. We got even the little ones. We got them, right? They're right here. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say, hey, listen, let me just say something right here. Stop being afraid. Don't be discouraged. This battle is not even yours. It's God's. Watch this. Watch what he says. Don't be afraid of this vast army. And then he says, verse 16, tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz and at the end of the valley that opens in the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Oh my goodness, that's good news. Take your positions. Then he gives hard. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Why is he saying it over and over? Because you and I are so thick-headed. Man, we need to hear it more and more. Like, no. We need to be looking at one another in these circles as we gather, and we need to go, stop being afraid. you have a giant-sized hole in this battle that you're facing, and only God can fill it. It's not even your battle. Why are you worrying about it? It's not your battle. Why are you stressing about it? Why do you have anxiety about it? Why are you taking medicine about it? It's not even your battle. This is God's battle. It is His battle. Stop stressing and stress, and stop. Just stand still. Do you ever do that with a kid? Like, just stand still. Right? It's like the hardest thing in the world because they put all the really good items at the checkout. They know you. They know you. You just went in for milk. You're coming out with all the good stuff. You're like, who got the Reese's and the Kit Kats and the, well, it's because I had so-and-so with me and I kept saying, just stand still. Stand still and I'll give you a Reese's, right? Stand still, I'll give you some beef jerky. Like, just stand still. They didn't put the laundry detergent at the checkout. You're not tempted by the laundry detergent. You're tempted by the Reese's pieces that you swore on Sunday you were going to fast and never eat again. And you're like, what is happening right now? That is the devil telling you. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. Listen, when you got kids like mine, especially this last one of mine. Now, it was a year ago. There's moments where a year ago I listened to some of my messages, not because I like hearing myself talk, unlike what you think, babe, but anyway, but I listened to them because I want to know where we are and what was said, because you forget, right? You forget what you said. So I'm telling a story about a year ago. And there's a lot of your kids that you like to antagonize, right? Well, for me, that's Lila. She's 12. She's easy to antagonize. And then she says the really funny stuff, right? So a year ago, I'm antagonizing her. And that's when she said to me, if you remember, she's driving away. She's not. Kelly is. And they're pulling away. And she said, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd flip you off right now. I mean, right? I'm like, whose kid is that? She's mine. She's mine. So she's gone a couple days with the in-laws, and she's enjoyed let them spoil. And she comes home, and I'm, you know, we're riling one another up. We're antagonizing her. And she just looks at me, and she says, you know, you got a really punchable face. Now, I don't even know what that means. Like, what? What? I mean, like, I don't even know. It's like, this is what's happening. The Lord is saying, stand still. Stand still. Why? Because it's so important in this moment that you watch. See, this is not about power. This is about position. Position yourself so God can show up and do what He's about to do. See, when He decided in chapter 18 that He was going to get ahead of God and do what He wanted to do and then hope that God was okay with it, which is what we do. We do the forgiveness permission thing with God too. Like, I'm going to ask for forgiveness later instead of permission. And I'm going to get ahead of God and then I'm going to blame everybody and everybody that's in my life. Like, you did this. And it's like, God's like, no, you did it. You went ahead because you think you're God and I'm not okay with this plan. Do I look like the government and I'm going to bail you out right now? No. No, I'm not bailing you out right now. You put yourself in that position, you let me know when you want to come back. That's why he says, humble yourself. What does humbling myself do? It gets me back in the right position to hear what God has to say. A lot of times it's not that God's not speaking, it's that I'm not in position to hear him. So my oldest son he's deaf in one ear. What does he do when you're talking to him? Hey, Jake, come here, I got to tell you something. He goes like this. He positions himself so he can hear me. Now, I know which ear it is because there's some moments where he does this. And I'm like, son, you're not tricking me. I'm not your 12-year-old sister, right? I know which ears you're deaf. You're not paying. Like, listen. Why? He's positioning himself. You have to position yourself to hear what God is saying to you. He's saying stand still because if he doesn't say stand still, you're going to start doing all the other things. I mean, it's like me saying to Tompy, stand still. That's impossible, you guys. That guy is like JoJo the Idiot. You still can hear me. You still can hear me. TV's on in there. I don't know what he's doing. Welcome back. Welcome back. Repent right now. All right. So, I mean, standing still is not because you have an impatience. Standing still is so that you can be in position to hear what God is saying. So you don't miss these important details of what he's saying. Verse 18. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. That's very important, you guys. That is the most powerless position anybody could be in. I don't care how strong you are in this room. I don't care how much you lift. I don't care how much, you know, weight you can throw around. The most powerless position you could get in is to go face down to the ground. This is what he did. And it says, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Listen, if you want your environment to change, then start being the change that you want that environment to be. Like, if you want the people around you to change, start being the example of what it is that you want them to see so that they potentially could change. It says in this moment when Jehoshaphat could have done anything, he could have said, forget you, I'm going to do what I did. And it said all the people would have done that. It didn't. He went prostrate before the Lord. He surrendered his will to God's will. And it says all the nation did the exact same thing. There's something powerful that happens when people start praying. There's something powerful that happens when people start getting in unity, doing the exact same thing. God shows up in those moments. He says this. Then the Levites from the clans, Kohath and Korah, stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. I just love that it didn't say, like, with a loud voice. It says, very loud shout. I don't know what it was like to have three enemies coming at you, but there's just something powerful that happens when people think you're crazy. Like, if you were coming at me and I just went, ah! I mean, there's going to be a moment. Sorry, no. You might want to go change his diaper. I'll continue. All right, keep going. After consulting the Lord, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. I find this so ironic. It wasn't in this moment. See, Judah means praise. That's the definition of what Judah means. He says, listen, I'm going to appoint men to sing. I'm going to appoint men to do what we were created to do. Here's how we're going to face the enemy. I'm going to appoint men to sing and watch what is about to happen. Now, real clear, he found the guys who were the best of the best. Keep in mind, it didn't say, and all men were appointed to sing. Not all men should be leading this right now, right? He appointed men to sing, and then he says, and after he appointed them to sing, and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. He says, appoint men to sing about God's character. Appoint men to sing about who God is. Appoint men to sing about what God is about to do. And then they started singing a Chris Tomlin song. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. He says, listen, before you go out and fight this fight that I'm going to fight for you and you're not going to have to fight, I'm asking you to go out and sing God's praises by giving him thanks for who he is. See, a lot of times we don't get to the place of battle or the place of the Lord battling for us because we've complained so much about the battle, we've never thanked God for the battle. It didn't say, thank him for his victory. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. At the very moment, verse 22, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise. Now, come on. At the very moment they opened their mouths, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. See, if you want to confuse the enemy, start giving God thanks in the middle of a struggle. You want to see the enemy get confused and start going after one another? Start giving God thanks when it doesn't make sense because your situation didn't change, but you changed. This is not about singing how great you are. This is about going, God, I'm giving you thanks for who you are because your love endures forever, and I'm choosing to give you gratitude instead of having an attitude because I want to see you do this, and because I want to see you do it, I'm not going to complain about it anymore because the battle is not mine, so I'm tired of owning it. I'm tired of possessing it. I'm tired of complaining about it to everybody and anybody who's willing to listen. I'm tired of doing those things, and instead of doing that, I'm going to give thanks to who God is, and because His love endures forever, and because He's going to do great things, I'm going to sing your praises. And it says they sang in tune. That's important. It was a boy band. It was great. He appointed men. He appointed men. Verse 23. The armies of Moab, Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, killed every one of them, and they had destroyed the army of Seir, and they began attacking one another, because this is what happens when we allow God to fight our battles. If it continues on, I won't go through it all, but it continues on. It says, and for the next days, they started collecting food, all the things from these armies, and not one of them died in battle. You go from this battle, where he tried to do it his way, the king of Israel's killed. End of chapter 18, says he sat next to a wagon and breathed his last, to chapter 20, where he says, I'm going to do it God's way. And he didn't even have to fight. They just had to walk into the battlefield and to collect all the things. The gold, all the things. See, most of the time, I'm missing out on what God has for me and the best that God has for me because I'm not willing to let him battle for me. What is this? This is control, you guys. We're trying to control what God wants to do, and we're missing out. We're missing out. How do I know we're missing out? We're missing out because these men would have missed out on all the things that they got had they tried to do it. In fact, there's one moment in this chapter where it says, if you guys fight, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. The only way you're going to win this is if you allow God to win the victory. There's going to be moments where you got to look at one another and go, listen, I'm going to save you years of anxiety, years of depression. I'm gonna save you years right now. Stop fighting. I'm gonna say something else. It's gonna be hard. Keep your mouth shut. I'm gonna tell you, stop being God. The battle is not yours. It's not a pretty statement. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's because he said so. And I'm going to tell you right now, as I end this, it doesn't end well. Verse 31. So Jehoshaphat ruled over the land of Judah. He was 35 years old, young man, right? Became king. He reigned until he was about 60, 25 years. His mother, it doesn't matter. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Following the ways of his father Asa, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people never fully committed themselves to follow the God of their ancestors. This is what I find so ironic on this place that we live in culture. We live in a time right now where we have time. And I believe what is happening in our culture right now is God is allowing us time to get things in order. I would even call it a cleaning of the house. It doesn't mean there's not good things happening. It doesn't mean God's not showing up. It just means that there's an amount of time where God goes, get things in order. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, in the moment where he could have taken down certain pagan things, in the moment where he could have taken these small things and removed them, he didn't. And he's not the one that paid for it. It was the generations after him. It was his nation. It was his people that didn't. They paid for it. They were the ones that suffered the consequences, all because he allowed little things in. Listen, when you and I allow small things into our lives and we don't deal with those small things, we'll still experience some victory. There'll still be some battles we're winning. There'll still be moments of obedience, but there's always going to be consequences of those things unless we deal with those things. What is this? This side of heaven, you and I always need to repent. This side of heaven, We all fall short of the glory of God. This side of heaven, there's no arrival moment. There's no Kramer coming through the door like we've arrived somewhere. There's no moment where we're going like, look how good I am. Wow, I'm doing so good. There's none of those moments because there's always a decision to go back. There's always something in front of us, an opposition. The moment that I'm like, I'm doing good, the devil goes, yes. Yes, you are. Watch this. Watch this. You know when it usually happens? On the way home from church. This is why you take naps on Sunday. You don't got to deal with people. I used to not be a napper. I'm a firm napper with the door locked. Do not come in here, because I know that the devil is going to try to use my kids to come against me. And I don't need punched in the face today. The enemy, the moment that you and I feel we're comfortable in the battle and start thinking we did something, is the moments we've allowed a little bit of pride. We've started believing a lie. This is what Jehoshaphat did. He saw incredible victory. Guys, he was out there gathering all the stuff, going, look what the Lord has done. Yet I'm not going to remove that. I'm not going to remove that. And who suffered? Who suffered? His kids suffered. The nation suffered. The nation, it says, look, never fully committed themselves to follow the God of their ancestors. They fell short because he allowed small things in. Dads, what are we allowing small things in? That maybe it won't affect you, but it will affect your kids. Maybe you've got a handle on it, but it doesn't mean your kids do. What small attitude, what small belief am I carrying that I'm now leaving to the next generation? And it may not affect me. I may not see the dangers, but they do. And this is a little story in Luke 13 as we conclude. 5 verses. And about this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. And do you think, this is Jesus asking this question, do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. What is Jesus' point? His point is there's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be a time where I need to come before the Lord and I need to declare Psalm 51, verse 10 and 12, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, the reason the Lord's mercies are new every morning, and it's not an afternoon or a night thing, is because you and I have to depend on that forgiveness. Will it get easier? Yeah, there might be some things. The more I'm closer to the Lord, the more distant those things become, and I become stronger. But don't ever for a moment think that you've arrived. Repentance is something we should always be talking about. In fact, we should invite it so much that we should look at one another and say, hey, I'm going to make this easier on our relationship. We good? I know that's a dangerous question, especially in husbands and wives. We good? It opens up this door to allow the hurt and the bitterness to be defeated in our life. Well, it was just one small thing you said. Listen, that one small thing, if we allow it to stand, will turn into something really nasty if we allow it to build. Yes, Jehoshaphat saw great victory. Yes, the Lord did great things. But Jehoshaphat failed to remove the small things. And because of that, people suffered. In this room right now, you're a leader of something. You are a leader of something, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, a husband, a wife, a student that people look up to, you are leading somebody. And somebody is affected by what you do today. I don't want to be responsible for a nation. not following Jesus because I did not remove one small thing. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me today? We're going to sing a song. And the gist of the song says this. Come and fill this room. This is not about this. It's this. Come and fill this room. Anything apart from you, let it fall away. It's you and I inviting the Lord. This personal. This is not about, hey, asking a neighbor. This is about you making this personal. God, is there anything that's standing in the way right now? Is there an attitude? Is there a sin? Is there a mindset? Is there something that's standing in the way? God, my prayer today is that it falls away. God, that you would take it. I'm so grateful that the Lord said, I came not for the healthy, but for the sick. I came that you and I might have eternal life, and not just life, but life abundantly, this side of heaven. And he says, all we have to do, all you and I have to do is confess your sin. And God's part is he is faithful and just to forgive us. That means every time we say, Lord, I need you, he's there. Every time you say, Lord, I'm sorry, he's there. He says, every time you ask, I'll be there. You can't say that about all friends, you guys. He says, when you ask for forgiveness and you bring it to me, I will do it. You know what I tend to not do? I tend to not confess. I tend to say, I'm good. It's small. I'll figure it out. And what I'm really saying is, God, I got this. I don't need you. And he says, that's not how this battle works. If you want it to be mine, humbly come and watch what I do. Today, you might have to do what Jehoshaphat did. You might have to get in the most powerless position you can. Prostrate before the Lord. Maybe that's what humbles us. I have kids. They humble me. You have situations. They humble you. You have friends, situations, circumstances, jobs. They all are opportunities to humble us, to lean into the Lord. Jesus, today, well, just this moment, right now, you just say, I don't know what's going on in your life, but you bring whatever's going on between you and the Lord, whatever's standing in the way. That's the definition of sin. Sin is that it just stops you, stands in the way from what God wants to do. This is your time. I can't confess for you. This is your moment. But God, we echo David's prayer today. Would you create in us a clean heart? Renew a right spirit within us. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a willing spirit in me. God, we trust you. We lean into you. We give you our battle. Yours. In the name of Jesus.